We're dedicated at BethWE.com to connect, communicate, and thrive. That's what we'd love for everybody to be able to do, to find their connection, to communicate with the people they love, and to thrive, just live their very best life. This time of year, some of us think about spending time with family. And it's a funny thing. Some of us are so excited and we can't wait, and others are cringing and saying, oh my gosh, it's coming up again. I have to go through it again. And it just depends. It depends on what it was like before. And I'm here to tell you, it can be new this year. Whatever you want it to be, it can be new. No, we can't change other people. You're right. If Uncle Red is a son of a gun, then Uncle Red is a son of a gun. But I'll tell you what, you can change, and you can live your very best life, and you can be love in that relationship. But you have to be able to see what's wrong. Sometimes the hardest part in getting things right with our family is getting things right. And I don't mean the relationship right. I mean just really coming to terms and becoming aware of what's really going on in some of these relationships. You know, some of us have memories of past hurts. And, you know, they're over now, right? So why do we keep thinking about them? Why do they keep coming up? Why do I still feel funny every time I think about fill in the blank, the person that you struggle with in your family? I think some of the reasons are right as day, you know, right in our face. We can see them, but we haven't really admitted to them. We haven't really thought about what it means. We haven't really looked to see what our part was and if we can make any changes so that we don't have to carry that burden with us every time we're with family. There's a program called Adult Children's of Dysfunctional Families. And it's a funny thing. They've developed symptoms that started out as like just a normal response to stress. And these symptoms, they came to us honestly. We were just trying to survive chaos, you know, or trying to get through the day, just trying to make it in a relational setup that was dysfunctional. So what characteristics that may have once helped us are not helping you today? Those are things you need to look at, and those are things you need to know about yourself, especially if you want to have a good and happy life, no matter who's around. Many of you know that in dysfunctional families, one of the rules is you're not supposed to feel. Some of us weren't told just not to feel. Some of us were told not to let us see how you feel. The old statement, I'll give you something to cry about to make a child stop crying. We all kind of know that one. We've heard it. We've seen it on sitcoms. We've seen it in serious plays. We've read it in books. But the reality is some of us lived it. If you're listening and that's ringing a bell with you, I'm here for you. You're not alone. There's other people that made it through that and are living fantastic, wonderful, abundant lives today. But if you're taught to numb your pain early, you may still be numbing your pain. You know, your parents may be gone. They may have left the planet already. You may have buried them and moved on. But you're still numbing your pain because it's what you learned as a child. And how do you numb your pain? You know, people do things many different ways. And you hear us talk about it on Beth We a lot. But many of you listening have different ways. Some of you use drugs or alcohol. Some of you run. Some of you overeat. Maybe when you're feeling stressed, you eat more than usual, or you buy the ice cream that you're going to eat the whole half gallon in one sitting. Some people use sex, people pleasing. Some of us just seek approval. We just keep bobbing our heads, looking around for somebody to say we're doing okay. And unless somebody tells us that, we don't know it. We just keep bobbing around, looking for somebody to tell us we're okay. Some people go into hysterics. They throw a fit. You know those ones, don't you? We call them the drama kings and queens in our lives, but it's just their reaction. It's how they are avoiding real feeling. Some people get angry and shut down. And some people either get addicted to relationship where they're constantly have to be connected, or they get addicted to not relationship where they're isolated and apart. And these are all different ways that we numb pain. The same thing that we learned when we were little. What did you do when you were little? It's funny, I remember, as many of you know, I'm from a big family. And when we were in trouble, our dad would kind of stand us up in a line. And each one of us had our own little reaction. Mine was to kind of blend into the woodwork and become invisible so that I didn't take any of the focus of my dad's anger. That was my role. To this day, if I'm feeling really challenged, my first instinctive response is to become quiet and numb. I don't have to live like that anymore, though, because I found a way out. But that doesn't mean that doesn't still come into my head. Now I know that I don't have to live that way, and I have other little tools to use to help me get my needs met and allow me to feel, even when the feelings might be uncomfortable. Other people in that same line with me, my brothers and sisters, some would stand up. They would kind of get in my dad's face almost. They'd resist his authority. And that was how they got through that. I'm wondering, do they still do that today? Are you somebody that identifies with that role? Do you resist authority to this day? It's a funny thing. Things we learn as children, we sometimes take with us into our adulthood. All of these different things we do can take away, you know, momentary pain by wiping out the feeling. It circumvents the feeling because it has a different feeling overtake it. But that first feeling is really the feeling that you have. And when you numb it or hide it or stuff it, it will come out later. When it does, it usually comes out as anger or rage. And usually in a moment, you don't even expect it. If you stuff your feelings long enough, they will come out. But that's not the only thing we're talking about. These are just symptoms that give us the illusion that we had some control. As children, we didn't have a lot of control. So we did things that made us feel like, yeah, I got a little bit of control here. It ain't so bad. I'm doing okay. And as children, we didn't have the means to relieve the pain. So these tactics gave us like a false protection from it. But today as adults, the more we retreat into these traits, the more we deny our true feelings. And when we deny our true feelings, we're just not living our best life. We're covering up. We're hiding out. We're living somebody else's life. We're writing a story or a play. We're not living in the now. With our true feelings, we can develop intimacy with other people, but without them, that's not possible. To become intimate with other people can be a scary thing for anybody that came from a dysfunctional home. Now, many of you listening are thinking, yeah, but how many people came from a dysfunctional home like that? Well, you know, at the University of Michigan, the current statistics are 90 to 95% of people come from dysfunctional homes. Let's face it, we're all human beings. Humans are known for one thing. We make mistakes. It is part of being human. It's not bad. It's not good. It just is. We make mistakes. Every parent listening to me right now knows that they've had a time where they made a mistake as a parent, where they pushed or they pulled or they weren't available or they were too available. Whatever it was you did, you all know that you had those moments where it just wasn't right on. And that's okay. That's what human beings do. You're just one of many. But 90 to 95%, that's a pretty big number. And I'm talking to 90 to 95% of you listening today. You're understanding what I'm talking about. And you're wanting to know more. We're getting ready to come together. At this time of year, we tend to see people we haven't seen in a long time. Sometimes we run into them. Sometimes we have dinner with them. Sometimes we cook for them and invite them over. Sometimes we exchange gifts. Sometimes we sing songs together. Whatever it is, whatever we do when we come together, and all of us bring some baggage. Are you bringing a steamer trunk or a carry-on? That's what I'm wondering. That's what I'm hoping, that you can minimize some of this and get through it and cut through it and find your place and live your truth and be who you are, because you were created to be this beautiful child of the Most High. And that is who you are, whether you like it or not. You're one of the great creations out there. When we retreat into the old traits, we deny our true feelings. It's a sad thing. And when we deny our true feelings, we can't really have intimate relationships with people. Intimate doesn't mean sexual. Intimate just means close, real, honest. Without intimacy in our primary relationships, we become like petri dishes for shame. We walk around not feeling sure about what we're doing or who we are. We question things that are going on right in front of us. We question if we're right or we're wrong. We don't just trust our gut. We go a little bit crazy. So that's, you know, shame is its own issue. If you're dealing with shame, that's its own issue. And we'll talk more about that on another day. But in the meantime, we're talking today about family relationships and how we get along and what we do to make them stronger. There's a lot of difficulties that can happen within a family unit. There's a woman named Dr. Janet Woititz, and she wrote an incredible book called Adult Children of Alcoholics. Now, maybe some of you listening are saying, yeah, but I'm not an adult child of an alcoholic. It's okay. If you're an adult child of dysfunction, you still will have some of the traits that Miss Janet Woititz wrote about. And the earmarks of dysfunction include many different things. And we're going to go over some of those and kind of see if you can identify with any of them. The first one that I think is one of the most important and maybe one of the most universal is isolation. Do you have difficulty with close relationships? Is it difficult for you to let people get too close? Now, I'm going to tell you something. You probably doubt it because you hear me on the radio or you see that I teach workshops. And you think that I'm just out there and outgoing, but I'm really a shy person. It takes me a little while to warm up to people. And I don't just give myself out there in relationship. I kind of test the water, and I kind of wait for you to test the water, and I come together like that. I don't think being shy is dysfunctional. It's just a trait. It's almost healthy, because I'm careful. I don't just jump in and hope for the best. I kind of test the water. I see what we share in common, what we don't. I see if I watch for your integrity. I watch for if you would be safe to be in relationship with. I look, that's how I find friends. That's how I find coworkers. That's how I find whatever it is. That's what I do. I test the water a little bit. Isolation's a little bit different. You know what? Let's take a little break before we get into all these things so that you can really think about them. We'll be right back. We're talking today about family. We want to be close, but sometimes we're not. Stay tuned.
Thanks for listening to the Beth Wee Radio Hour. Don't forget to check in at www.bethwee.com for more insights and information on how to connect in this big, crazy world. www.bethwee.com gives you dates of upcoming seminars, video teachings for those seeking recovery, tools for finding peace of mind, and Beth's blog, Thoughts to Challenge Your Complacent Thinking. Next time you're online, check out www.bethwee.com. Look for us on Facebook as well. We want you to live your priorities.
Hello, everybody. I'm Beth Walsh Erickson. Thanks for tuning in today to the Beth Wee Radio Hour. We're talking about family and family issues and some of the difficulties we have with family. And just as before we took our little break, I mentioned Dr. Janet Woititz, who wrote a book called Adult Children of Alcoholics. And again, I just caution you. Some of the things she talks about are for children of alcoholics, but some are just for children of dysfunction. And at that latest University of Michigan study, they say that dysfunction is now 90 to 95% of American families. You know, deal with dysfunction. So chances are good. If it's not you, it's somebody and most people you know very well. So listening won't hurt. It'll just help you. And as we go into the times of year where we want to be closer to people that we grew up with, or people that we don't get to see all the time but that have history with us, it's good to know that you're not the only one that struggles and that there are ways out. Right now, we're looking at some of the earmarks that are noted for family dysfunction. And the first one I mentioned was isolation. And it's a form of difficulty with intimate relationships or close relationships. And when you're isolated, you just kind of naturally separate yourself. It does not mean you leave the room. You can do this while you're sitting at the dinner table. You can be totally isolated where people can't get to you, but you're sitting right next to them. Isolation can be emotional, or it can be physical. In other stages of people's progression, there's times where they really just isolate, where they're off by themselves. But isolation starts way before that. It starts where we learn that we're not safe and that we're going to separate ourselves from people. That's, you know, brings to my second point, like an uneasiness with others. Sometimes that's with like authority figures or people like that, but sometimes we're just uneasy with people. We're uneasy naturally. Have you ever gotten into a phase like that where you just don't feel good? Most days you can go and be comfortable in your own skin. But there are times when you're actually uncomfortable in your own skin and you just feel a lack of ease, dis-ease with other people. That's common for people that grew up in dysfunctional relations, in families of dysfunction. And it's something that we have to overcome. How about this one? Do you know your true identity? Do you have your true identity intact? Or have you lost that? Do you seek approval and affirmation from other people? Because you're not quite sure who you are, so you kind of get fed by that. I remember that one of the things I said about myself when I was young was that I created a Rolodex in my head. And when I met somebody, I would put their name on a card, and I would fill out who I needed to be when I was with them, if I was going to be successful. And that's a terrible thing. So when I'd come to you, I'd flip to your card and I'd be whoever you wanted me to be. I gotta tell you, it was a good way to get ahead, but it didn't make much of my life. My life became a play of whoever I had to play to get ahead. It's a loss of identity of sorts. It's like I didn't value my own identity enough to allow it to live and breathe and have its own place. For those of us that grew up in dysfunction, sometimes we're not sure what normal is. We'll say things, or we won't say things. We'll hold things back because we're like, oh, that can't be normal. And yet some things are normal. Families don't get along all the time. You know that, right? It wouldn't be normal if there was never an issue in the family. It just wouldn't be normal. Because relationships are living, moving, breathing things. People are different. They think different. And you're going to have times where you brush up against something that you don't agree with. That's normal in a relationship. Come on, if you didn't have that, it would kind of be boring, wouldn't it? Wouldn't your relationships be kind of boring? Now, on the other hand, some of us from dysfunctional backgrounds, that's all we did, is we brushed up. We were constantly at odds with everybody. The family unit felt like a warring fragment, and it wasn't comfortable. But here's the deal. What's normal? Many of us from dysfunction don't know. We wouldn't know what to answer to that. So don't fear if that's where you're at. Don't worry about it. Just look at it and say, I'm not quite sure. You know, one of the things in that study at University of Michigan, one of the things that they noticed, and actually Dr. Wojtyc talked about it also in her book briefly, was that some children of dysfunction have a tough time seeing a project through to the end. They may start a lot of things, but they don't finish a lot of things. That's a commonality of people from dysfunction. You get a good start, but you don't always finish. And these people also judge themselves without mercy. You're kind and you'll let other people off the hook, but when you're talking about yourself, there is no mercy there. You hold a strong, strong conviction that it should be one way or the other, and when you don't get that, you just beat yourself up. You take yourselves very seriously. Or should I say, we take ourselves very seriously, more likely. You know, it's funny. Many children of dysfunction are either super responsible or very irresponsible. Again, two sides, not a lot of balance in this. And I'm finding that the more I grow, the more balanced I get with things, the happier and more fruitful my life seems to be. So when we're talking about finding our best life or thriving, we're talking about living in balance. Sometimes the dysfunction, one of the hardest things, I think, is when we have false beliefs that we live by. You know, things like, if you really knew me, you wouldn't like me. Or, if I'm perfect, you'd like me, but I'm not perfect. Or, I'll never be good enough. Whatever these are false beliefs that are in your head. Maybe one of those rang a bell for you. Maybe not. Maybe you think of another one. But these are all false beliefs that have to be, you know, stopped at the start. When you think it, you have to hear it. That's what the awareness I talked about earlier. Becoming aware. Just becoming aware that you have a false belief playing in your head and you have to challenge it. Once you hear it, and you challenge it, it will become easier to hear it and challenge it the next time. It's an amazing thing. False beliefs can crumble pretty quickly if challenged. Until you can hear them, though. They just live. They just live below the level of consciousness, and you're just responding to them without even thinking them. So really listen. What's holding you back? Is it one of those false beliefs? Challenge it. Challenge it. Nobody's perfect. If you have to be perfect for this guy to like you, he wouldn't like anybody. Or the one, if you really knew me, you wouldn't like me. You'd love me if you knew me, if only I could let you. That's a better step. It's a step forward. We're talking today about dysfunction and trying to get along with the people we love, our families. We'll be back in a little bit. We're going to take a little break. And when we come back, we're going to do the 5 on 5. So stay tuned.
Have I told you lately that I love you? Have I told you there's no one above you? Well, my heart with gladness, take away my sadness.